Now, I got a question for everybody here. Who wants to win? Let me see your hand if you want to win. How many want to win? How many are tired of always losing something, always going through something, always struggling with something, and you just say to yourself, you know what? It's about time that I got to win. Raise your hand if that's you. It's about time you got something for yourself, okay? I want to tell you that I think it's time. Everybody deserves a win in their life. Is anybody with me on that one? I believe every single person in this room deserves a win in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, what I am talking about is not a W-I-N. It is a W-H-E-N. Everybody needs a win in your life. I don't know about you, but sometimes you can wait so long. And you're saying, God, when is my change going to come? When am I going to see things get better? When is my marriage going to get better? When are my kids going to come home? When is the drug addiction going to stop bothering me? When am I going to stop worrying? Everybody needs a win when God comes through, breaks through, and shows you that he's God on the throne. Somebody give God a great hand clap. I need to know that I know that I know that I know that God's still on the throne. Everybody needs to have a win in their life. And today, we're going to pick up from a little bit where we were last week, where we talked about, you know, the big prayer is, God, let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And the way that you bring down heaven into the earth is you've got to have what I call a win moment. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6 and 6 as we walk the text. And we're going to talk about a lot today, but we'll start there. Matthew 6 and 6 from the New Living Translation, Matthew 6 and 6. If you have it on the screen, there you go. All right. Would you read with me, please? Watch this. But, start again. But, everybody say when. When you, that denotes there's a moment where the foolishness has to stop. There is a moment where the devil cannot take nair one more thing out of your life. Look at your neighbor and say, nair. That is actually a word. I made it up, so it's a word. The devil cannot take nair one more. There is a win moment where you are tired of taking the stuff that he's dishing out, and you say, you know what? Enough is enough. And you know when that time is? When you pray. I want to tell you something, that change happens in the natural when change happens in the supernatural. You can't deal with the natural with natural, for weapons of all warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I love the picture that I saw when Joshua looked across the River Jordan and he saw Jericho, and he says, you know what? I got to get to my promise, but there's walls all around it. I don't have enough men. I don't have enough machines to bring the walls down. And God says, you know what? I don't need your machines. I don't need your man-made weapons. I don't need your intellect. I need you to walk in obedience. He says, I'm going to show the world from now on what to do. Now, I'm going to want you to walk around. I want you to walk around six times. And then on the seventh time, I want you to shout. Now, any builder in the city said, these people are foolish. These are reinforced walls. They're high. There's no way yelling is going to do anything to bring the walls down. Six times they went around, seventh time they went around seven times. Shoo, 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 shoo. And then they shouted. The Bible says the walls fell down. Did they push on the walls? No. The weapons of their warfare were not carnal, meaning made for man, but they were mighty to the pulling down. Someone had a stronghold on their stuff. Let me say to you, some of your stuff is behind the walls of Jericho. Some of your promotions are behind the wall of Jericho. Somebody say amen. Some of your breakthrough is behind the walls of Jericho, and you can't fight with your head. You can't argue with your boss, not now, one more time. You just need the boss to be moved out of the way. Hello, somebody. You're like, God, I ain't arguing with this man no more. And God says, you really don't have to. You prayed the right prayer. Fruit, they get out of. Now, he may promote him. I don't care how he does it. Just get him out of my way. Look at your neighbor and say, when you pray. Turn to the other side and say, when you pray. Watch this. It says, when you pray, go away by. Don't take a crowd with you. How many know when you talk to God, it's going to be you? How many know when you die, it's going to be you? How many know when you get rich, it's going to be you? Amen, somebody. Just. You ain't prayed this prayer. I prayed this prayer. No, anyway. Go away by yourself. And do what? Shut the door behind you. There's so much life here. When you go in, shut the door. Let me say it again on this side. I think they're more spiritual. When you go in, shut the door. I think they got a revelation. When you go in, shut the door. They're still seeking God. Come on. When you go into your door of prayer, there is no turning back. Shut the door. There is no turning around anymore. There's no more looking back. You shut the door. If I'm going to God, I'm not going to Auntie May May. I'm not going to Auntie Ray Ray. I'm not going nowhere else. It is God and God alone. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through. I don't need to go to nowhere else. Am Scott can stay open 24 hours. I'm still going to God. Somebody say amen. Amen. No, you got to say it like you mad. Amen. Amen. Shut the door. What am I saying to you, ladies and gentlemen? If you're going to go to God, let not a man who comes to God be double-minded, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Shut the door. If you're going to pray, don't waste your time. If you're going to pray, believe that you believe. Shut the door. Look at your neighbor and say, shut the door. My dad used to always say that. We when we first got here, Leesburg a trip, but Groveland's even more of a trip. We moved out to Groveland, and out in Groveland, you know, we lived out on like 5 acres. And when we opened the door, we lived like a mile from the dump. And I mean, we didn't smell it, but flies were everywhere. And I used to always yell, shut the door. Because flies will always come in. How many know the Bible says that a fly in anointment, and an ointment will ruin perfume? You may have something good going, but if you leave your door open, something's going to fly in and get in your stuff. Listen, either go to God or don't. But don't stand in the doorway. Yes? Somebody say amen. You either go in or you go out, but don't stand in my doorway. You're letting the AC out. Somebody say amen. Watch what the word says. Look at this. And when you pray, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in. It's a private thing. I mean, the only way you'll ever understand that the Lord Jesus is alive and real is if you ask something that nobody knows but you and him. Can I give you the clue to how I know God's real? is that I literally go to him alone. Nobody knew what I was asking for. I prayed it in secret, and he gave me it in the open. That's how I know he's real. Some of you are wondering, how do I prove, you know, I really want that strong relationship with God. I really want him to see, I want to see him move in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to try the Lord. You got to go in to your Father in private so nobody else knows. And you got to ask him something nobody else will know so that he can answer and show you that he's real. He says, then, everybody say, then. Your Father, then. Everybody say, then. Your Father. In other words, when you pray, then your Father. It's a when-then moment. When you pray, then your Father, the one who says, I own you, you belong to me, I believe you are my offspring, I took time to create you, you belong to, you got my name on your soul, you belong to me, says, come to me and I will be a father to you. Sometimes people can't satisfy the need. Sometimes you just need a father's love. Everybody close your eyes for just a second. How many in this congregation grew up without a father in the home? That's a lot of us, ladies and gentlemen. Put your hands down. Look at me. Sometimes what we really need is a father's love. And the Bible says if you go into prayer with God, he will give to you a father's love. Somebody needs to hear this morning because you're struggling trying to define what a man is. You're trying to define what a woman is. And what you really need is a father to tell you which is which. And the only way you're going to find that is if you go in private and you talk to God and you make it a personal relationship between you and God. And if you can just make it personal, everybody say, make it personal. If you could just say, God, I'm not here because of my wife. I'm not here because of my girlfriend. I'm not here because of my husband. I'm not here because of my boyfriend. I'm here because I need a father in my life. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. But God, if I come to you in private, you promise me. Look at this. Then your Father who sees will. No. I don't get there yet. Let's deal with how he operates. If you go in private, he will. That's the power of the when then. When you pray, then he will. When you pray, then he will. What do you need from God? What is it? Because he's waiting on you because he wants to give it. When you pray, the Father who sees you, sees everything, will, watch this, reward you. Let me give a story that happened this past week. I think it's awesome. After every great teaching, God gives a great example of a when-then principle. This week, there was a young lady here that goes to our church, and went to one of our catalyst teams, and she was in the midst of a struggle. And in her struggle, she didn't want to share with the team what she was going through. She was ashamed about her story. And she got towards the end of the meeting, and she said this past week, you know what? I'm here. They're asking for prayer. This is my win moment. But I'm ashamed. So she bowed her head, and she said, I've got a prayer request. He said, my daughter, I haven't seen for 6 months. I haven't seen my grandkids for 6 months. They're gone, and I haven't seen them. I want to see them. And I don't know how to reach them. I don't know how to get in touch with them. And I need prayer. And her head was bowed down. And this is the power of catalyst teams, because sometimes when you're weak, others can be strong for you. And they gathered around her and they said, you know what? Let's pray. And they used the when then moment. They began to pray right then, God, we need you to move and to reconnect this mother with her daughter. Fast forward. That was probably about 7 o'clock in the evening. The next day, in the morning, she's at a friend's house, and the doorbell rings. And so she opens the doorbell, and this little young boy standing there. She looks at the little boy and says, hold on, let me get the person whose house this is. Figured it was for them. Turned around and said, hey, you got a little guest here at your door. And the little boy looks up and goes, Grandma? She turns back around and realizes this is her grandchild she had not seen and has grown big. She looks up and coming up the walkway is her daughter and the rest of the grandkids. Less than 24. When you pray, then your father what? Will reward you. Now, how in the world does that operate? For surely she prayed, but the child, that, how did that happen? Because she prayed and then the next day they pop up. How does that work? She had to have had it in her mind before to come see the mama after 6 months. How does that work? Let me show you. I want you to turn to Isaiah 65 and verse 24. Isaiah 65. Here's how it works when you pray. The Bible says this, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. That means, now watch this, we read, before you even open your mouth to pray, he will answer your prayer. So watch this. So while you are in the middle of speaking, all he has to do is sit back and listen. He goes, I already got it. I already got it fixed. I already did it. I already did it for you. I just wanted to hear you say it. Now, I'm God. Now, how do we know? Because go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and look at verse 8. How does he do this? Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Amen. There it is. He says, in this prayer, be not like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask them. So that's why Isaiah works, because he knows what you need. And he knows, okay, when they pray, I'm going to make it so close to their prayer, they know it's me. While they're yet speaking, I'll just chill and just listen to the prayer. You need to have a win in your life. What are you facing? You know, when I looked at this story about how does God meet our needs like that? How does kingdom come on earth? Why does he do that? Why does he answer prayer like this? And I look at the life of Abraham. Abraham was a man who was like his own man, and he walked in his own way. But God had his hand on his life. And God told him, I want you to do what I want you to do. I want you to follow me. Well, Abraham was older in age, and Abraham wanted a son. And he was about 98 years old when God actually gave him a son, finally. And he loved that boy. His name was Isaac. And Isaac walked with him, and he loved him. It was the prize of his life. That was his boy. And then God told him something very unique. He says, I want to prove that you love me more than anything that you have. I want you to sacrifice your Isaac. And Abraham said, Lord, you want me to give Isaac? You want me to do that? Yes, I want you to take him up on the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, to most of us, we would leave God right then in that moment. What do you mean, God, you want me to let this go? This don't even sound like you. Why would you want me to let go what you gave me? This ain't like you. No. But when your Isaacs in your life is more than the God in your life, something's wrong. I want you to think for a moment, where's your Isaacs? What in your life is taking God's place? What in your life is bigger than God right now? That's your Isaac. And what God did for Abraham, He says, listen, I want you to sacrifice your Isaac. But Abraham understood something very unique. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. I'm going to read how Abraham approached this concept of understanding God in prayer. Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. Now, Abraham's walking with Isaac, his son. They're going up to the mountain. They're about to go into this place of sacrifice. And Abraham said unto his, the young men that were with him, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Did you hear what he said? He says that me and my boy are going to go and worship, but guess what? We're coming back. Did you hear that? He says the thing that God wants to see if I will sacrifice, as long as God stays first, I can come back with it. I hope you hear what I just said. You think by giving your life over to God, you're going to lose? God says, I can give you that and so much more. If you just let me have it, I'll let you come back with it. So many people are so afraid to give their life to God. Well, if I give my life to God, man, I'm going to lose this and lose that and lose that. The Lord said, no, I just need you to put it in the right place. If you put it in the right place, I can let you keep it. So Abraham, understanding God after so many years, said, you know, my son, and we're going to come back. Look at verse 6. Watch this. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. He said, son, I need you to carry your own wood. And he took the fire in his hand and a torch and a knife. And they both went up together. Verse 7. I don't know about you, but this would have creeped me out. Verse 7. And Isaac, looking at everything, looking around, saw the knife in his daddy's hand, saw the wood. Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, here am I, son. And he said, behold, daddy, the fire, and I see the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Something ain't right. Look at your neighbor and say, something ain't right. Something ain't right. Now God, Daddy, I see the wood and I see the fire, but you know, you got to have a lamb. Where's the lamb? And I want you to look what he says, verse 8. Everyone read with me. And Abraham see that? He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Now, he knew he was going to sacrifice Isaac, but he knew enough about God that he spoke. Watch this. When Abraham stated what he wanted, then God gave him what he needed. When Abraham stated what he wanted, God gave him what he needed. When we talk about prayer, you've got to start speaking faith when you start talking. You can't always talk doubt. Well, I don't know if God will do it. You better start declaring those things that be not as though they were. That's how God talks. And I want you to look what happens next. Look at this. Go to verse. We're going to go down and see what happens in verse 13. Let's read. Go. All right, let's try that again. Read. Watch this. Abraham had lifted his knife to slay his son Isaac, and the angel stopped him and said, no, I provided something for you. He looks over his right shoulder, and there's a ram whose horns are caught in a thicket. While he's going up the mountain one side, God had the answer coming up on the other. Come on, somebody. You may not see it, but God, if you can just believe it, if you can believe in prayer, if you can go privately, talk to your daddy privately, and believe that whatever you say you can have, then when you speak it, up on the other side of your mountain, God's bringing your answer. Somebody say amen. All you have to do is believe. Believe. I love this. And it says here, and Abram went and took the ram. He didn't waste time. He took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now, this is the reason. Let me show you. This is the reason God wants you to have a win then moment. There's a reason God wants you to have a when then moment. It's found in verse 14. Take a look at this. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. The place, he gave it a name, and he named it Jehovah Jireh. That means the Lord is my provider. The reason that God wants you to pray and talk to him in private is so that you can give him your own personal name for what he does for you. You need to see a facet of God you have never seen before. And when you do, you will come up with your own titles for God. He called him Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. So my question to you today is, when are you going to have your when-then moment with God? Maybe the hardest thing you're facing today is your when-then moment. Maybe what you're dealing with to see is God real? Can he really use me? Can he really touch me? Can he really change me? That is your when-then moment. You're looking for a daddy, a father in your life. And God says, when you pray, then I will reward you. Why? He will reward you for what is right. That's why he rewards. And if you go to him in prayer, you will get rewarded with prayer. There is no, now listen, let me say this to you. There's no temptation taking any of you in this place, which is not common to all men. But the Bible says that he has not put more on you than you can bear. But in your temptation, you have an advantage. You have a rewards card. There are many credit cards out there. They say every time you use it, you get what? Rewards. I like to call this the master's card. Somebody say amen. And every time you swipe the master card, you get rewards. You get what? Cash back. Somebody say amen. Somebody needs something back from God, and all you need to do is swipe the master's card and trust God, and he will reward you in the open. How many are willing to believe God this morning? Listen, let me say to you, praying today is going to be like drawing the winning lotto. You're going to pull the right ticket with God. You always do. And I want to say to you, when are you going to pray? When? Would you stand to your feet, please?